Stuyvesant High School. Do we have any other graduates from Stuyvesant here? How do you say it? Stuyvesant. Yeah, you can tell I'm not from the area. Stuyvesant High School. So do we have any other graduates? Oh, we do. In the back there. Okay, got some alumni here. And Columbia University? Any other? No? Okay. He felt God's call to come to full-time Christian service and went on for seminary studies for his MDiv degree and finally obtaining his PhD in Old Testament from Drew University, which is also in New Jersey, right? Okay, so definitely from the area. And over the years, he has been a pastor in New York and New Jersey, as well as an adjunct professor at various schools, including Nyack College, Rutgers, Fordham University, and Fordham. And how do you say that correctly? Fordham. Okay. Thank you. And right now he's teaching part-time at William Patterson University. Yeah. In New Jersey. And guest speaking at various Chinese-American churches, thus like Cornerstone. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome Reverend Milton Eng. Oops.
It's a pleasure to be here at CCC of Somerset. You know, all the Chinese churches, it's always Chinese Christian something or other. You would think they would be a little bit more creative, but anyway. Well, I'm sorry. This is not CCC yet. This is Cornerstone? Okay, Cornerstone. Okay. Well, I want to thank Jeff and Ian for having me here. I've gotten to know them a little bit over the years through pastoral and laity ministries, English pastors' meetings, bi-monthly in New Jersey. And it's always a lot of fun to meet the shepherd and then also the sheep. So you guys are the sheep, and I've met your shepherds. So it's always nice to see, you know, you get to know the shepherd and the shepherds a little bit. And so it's always nice to kind of come and see them in their home setting with the fellowship of believers and different churches. So thanks again for having me down here. And it's always a blessing as a guest speaker to go around and visit different churches and ministries. They come in all sizes and shapes. But the one thing that makes it a special blessing is that we still have one Lord and one faith and one God. So it's kind of a nice extended family as I go about each Sunday visiting different churches. Today's message, if you haven't figured out by now, is a subject. I'm going to speak on the subject of prayer. My message today is the real deal on prayer. You know, when it comes to this subject, we are kind of entering what I like to call the twilight zone of Christian spirituality, because prayer is essentially a mystery. If you study the devotional and spiritual writers, they all say the same thing. They all say this, that prayer indeed is a mystery, and that we're entering the twilight zone of Christian spirituality. One author writes that prayer is, quote, prayer catapults us to the frontiers of the spiritual life. Another says that prayer is to faith what basic research is to science. Any of you who are involved in basic research, you know, those are the guys who are going in scientific realms where no scientists have ever gone before. Just to show you how difficult and unique the issue of prayer is in the Christian life is, have you ever met anyone who was satisfied with their prayer life? I would say, you know, maybe 9 out of 10 of them at least, if not more, would say they're never really satisfied with their prayer life. You know, they might be satisfied with their Bible study or maybe their worship or even their devotional times. But I think you'll find very, very few people. And it could be, you know, a lot of them are pastors. A lot of them are men and women of God who you would think are men and women of prayer. But I think if most of us are honest with you, we will say that we don't feel we have quite got it yet when it comes to the subject of prayer. Dealing with prayer reminds me of the opening words of one of my favorite all-time TV shows, Star Trek. Now, this is the original series, not the new ones, you know. You might have to go on YouTube to find it. But anyway, for you oldies, the original opening scene of Star Trek, it opens with, you get a glimpse of deep space, and the spaceship is flying through slowly, and on comes the voice of William Shatner, and here are his words, "Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise, its 5-year mission to explore strange new worlds and to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before." It's funny, but it's true. You know, when you really start getting into prayer, you remember that, Ian, right? What's that? Oh, okay, all right, yeah. Live long and prosper. But this is kind of the realm we're moving into when we talk about prayer. Prayer is indeed a mystery, an ever-expanding frontier in our own spirituality. Now, although prayer is a mystery, there was still much we can learn and, more importantly, unlearn from the spiritual masters and giants of prayer. Again, if you study a lot of these spiritual masters in Christianity, they pretty much all say this, and that is that real prayer is listening to God, not talking to Him. This is my key idea. This is the main point of my message today, and that is this, that real prayer is listening to God, not talking to Him. Let us open in prayer. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you would enable us, pull forth your Spirit, open our eyes, focus our thoughts, to reflect about the meaning of prayer. We pray, Lord, that you'll help us to persevere and to push through into ever new expanding frontiers so that we could be more effective and more relational to you as we come to you privately one-on-one in this mystery of this Christian discipline. We pray, Lord, that you'll help us to learn the art of prayer, to pick up what is the real deal, so that you may be pleased and we might be drawn closer to you in our times, our private times of devotion. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I think if you were to go to the average Sunday school class, perhaps you've been a teacher as well, and the teacher standing in front of the classroom and the subject of the lesson is prayer, and the teacher goes, he asks, okay, who can tell me what is prayer? What is prayer? I'm sure you have a handful of young people and the little kids, and they will all raise their hands and say, oh, what is prayer? Okay, Johnny, what is prayer? And he would say, prayer is talking to God. Prayer is talking to God. Well, today I want to share with you kind of a little bit of a different idea, something that's a little bit deeper, and that's why I call today's message The Real Deal on Prayer. Because in reality, prayer is talking to God, but real prayer is listening first and talking later. Why do I say this? Because real prayer is discerning God's will first and then praying according to that will. That is why I selected today's scripture reading. And the key verse is verse 14. It goes like this. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And so the key here is asking according to God's will. And if we have that confidence that we are asking according to God's will, He hears us. And once we know He hears us, then we know we have what we asked. But the question is, how do we know His will? And I suggest this morning, like all the spiritual giants, we know His will by listening first and talking later. you know, sometimes we're so busy talking that we're not really listening. I'm sure you might have come across a guy who's kind of have the gift of gab, and you're having a conversation, maybe even a Bible study, debating some theological point, and that person has so much to say, so that person is so busy talking, they're not listening to you. You say, wait, and you can't even get a word in edgewise. And so I think sometimes that's often what we do as well. We have so many needs, we have so many concerns, and it's even difficult, even in public, especially when you're praying in public, it's particularly difficult because you don't want to sound foolish and say the wrong thing. So you're so, you know, wrapped up in, you know, what you're praying that you're not really listening. And so I want to have us think this morning about what the real deal is on prayer. Richard Foster gives a wonderful illustration about listening prayer. So we're talking here not about talking prayer, but listening prayer. He said that prayer is like a TV set. You know, there are hundreds of TV signals in the air, but in order for that TV to work, it must first pick up the signals in the proper fashion. In other words, the TV must be on the same wavelength as the signal, otherwise there is no picture or a fuzzy picture. Now, by the way, this illustration was given before the digital transition last year in April. So nowadays, it doesn't quite work like that. There's no fuzzy picture. You either get it or you don't get it. That's the digital change nowadays. But anyway, bear with me with this older analog illustration. But the point is that, likewise, real prayer is being able to pick up God's signal, to tune in to His good and ideal will, and then once knowing that will, pray according to it. So the key is being on the same wavelength as God's wavelength. Have you ever had the experience of being on the same wavelength as someone else? You are chatting with a friend and trying to decide, for example, what to do, like, oh, where should we go to eat, or what movie do you want to see? And then all of a sudden the guy says, oh, well, let's go here. And he says, oh, I was just thinking of that. You know, you're kind of like on the same wavelength. Or let's go see that movie. And he says, oh, you know, I was just thinking about that. You thought my thoughts after me. And it's such a wonderful experience. There's no conflict, no argument, no static between the two of you. And that's kind of like it should be when we come to God in prayer. We're kind of like, oh, we're on the same wavelength. We were just thinking about the same thing. Oh, I got to pray for this person. I got to pray for that person. Oh, I just realized I have to do this. There's a beauty, unity, and harmony to that experience that should be the experience of our prayer life and our prayer lives as we are in tune with God's will and His desires. On the other hand, have you ever been in a situation or experience of not being in sync with someone else or your signals getting crossed? This is also a common experience of our prayer lives, but certainly not what God desires. The reason our prayer lives are often also weak is because we are not on the same wavelength as God's. So that's kind of a frustrating experience. And I think if you're in the faith for any period of time, it's just amazing how we can really get the wrong signal. You can, oh, you know, I know this is God's will, and then all of a sudden just doesn't turn out that way. You had some kind of conviction. Oh, I know that God wants me to do this, and then all of a sudden, you know, it kind of like God throws you a whammy. It doesn't work out. So the key here is trying to be on the same wavelength, being in tune with God's signal. You know, going back to the TV set illustration, think about it. When a TV or maybe a cell phone or maybe a radio is not able to pick up that signal, it could be several reasons. What could be wrong? Well, first, it could be because of a weak signal. Secondly, it could be because of a blocked signal. if you have a cell phone and you're in a church basement or something like that, when you're underground, you might have difficulty because your signal is blocked. Third, it could be because of interference, especially sometimes when you're in a big city where there's hundreds of different electromagnetic waves. Your signal might be get scrambled or might get tied up in other bandwidth. Likewise, in our prayer lives, we may not be tuning into God or hearing God properly because of these kinds of problems. Maybe our signal is weak, it may be blocked, or maybe because of interference. I'd like to share with you three ways to properly listen to God and avoid these signal problems. If real prayer is listening to God and not talking to Him, what is the best way then to listen to God? If real prayer is listening to God and not talking to Him, how then can we best listen to God? I want to share with you three ways in which we can do that. Number one, we listen to God when we are deep in His Word. We listen to God when we are deep in His Word. The primary means by which God speaks to us is through the Bible, the Scriptures. Jesus says in John 15:7, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you." This is a really bold statement. Again, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. Notice how there's such a close relationship between Jesus' words remaining in us and answered prayer. I kind of analogize from this is that one of the reasons our prayers are not answered is because of weak signal. Maybe we're in His Word, but we're not deep in His Word. And therefore, if we're not fully deep in God's Word, God's signal to us may also be weak. And when it is weak, it's difficult, if not impossible, to hear God's voice. How exactly does this work? By reading and rereading God's Word, you become more familiar with who God is and what His values and priorities are. Sooner or later, you figure out what you can ask for and what you cannot. It's kind of like the more you read the Bible, it's not just memorizing specific verses like John 3:16. It's kind of like a process of osmosis. You know, as you start reading the Bible, getting more familiar with it day in and day out, it's almost as if God's personality begins to transfer from the Scriptures to you as a person. The worldview of the Bible begins to shape your worldview. There's a process of transformation and a process of transition. And as you're reading, as you are deep in God's Word, then you become more familiar with who God is and what His priorities are. And sooner or later, you kind of figure out intuitively what you can ask for and what you cannot ask for. And that's one of the most important, you might say, the primary way by which we listen to God, because God's personality, values, and I guess view of the world is transferred from the Scriptures, is kind of imprinted from the Bible into your soul, your life, and your personality. But things like that take time and take study, and that's why I say we listen to God by being deep in His Word, not in some superficial or immature manner. I'll never forget a couple of years ago, the pastor of the church where my family and I attend up there in northern New Jersey, it's a Caucasian American church, one of these Willow Creek churches, he was sharing about the story about how there was this young Christian and he was kind of like in financial trouble and he had been praying for a miracle, manna from heaven, to come help him out in this financial situation. So he goes to church one Sunday, and he hears the pastor preaching, he's listening and listening, and the pastor says, you know, to God, 1,000 years is like a minute, and a minute is like 1,000 years. The pastor continues. He says, you know, to God, $1,000,000 is just like a penny, and a penny is just like $1,000,000. So as the young Christian is listening, he says, oh, this is the answer to my prayers. So after service, he quickly runs home, runs upstairs to his bedroom, falls on his knees, and he prays to God. He says, God, can I have a penny? And then God says, sure, in a minute. I give that illustration to show that, you know, if this is a young Christian and doesn't know any better, but as we grow in God's Word, we become more and more familiar with who God is and His priorities, and we're less inclined to kind of make those kinds of mistakes. I like to illustrate it with being in a family. You know, if you're raised in a typical Chinese family, sooner or later you begin to know what your parents' priorities are. You know what you can ask for and what you cannot ask for. If it has something to do with education, you know, there's no problem. But if it has something to do with entertainment or video games, then you might have a problem. You know, you talk to your parents and says, oh, you know, I need a new faster computer to do my papers and my homework and stuff like that. And you know intuitively, your parents are going to put the money out for it. It's not a big deal because it has to do with your education. Or you ask your parents, oh, you know, I need a new high-tech scientific calculator. They say, how much it costs? Okay, no problem. You know, but then you start asking them, you know, I need the latest Sony PlayStation 3 with Blu-ray DVD player. And then, you know, they're not going to be too inclined to say yes to that. And so it's kind of like being deep in God's Word. When you're deep in God's Word, you kind of intuitively can know and sense what you can ask for and what you cannot ask for. And that's step one in beginning to listen to God in prayer rather than talking to Him. And so that's kind of how it works. When you're deep in God's Word, you kind of know what you can ask for and what you cannot ask for. And that's part of the picture of listening to God and having more effective and answered prayer and confidence in that. Let me share with you number two. If real prayer is listening to God, not talking to Him, how can we best listen to God? Secondly, we best listen to God when we are obedient to His will. We listen to God when we are obedient to His will. 1 John 3:21 says, dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from Him anything we ask, because we obey His commands and do what pleases Him. You know, another problem with TV reception is a blocked signal. In the sense, if we are obedient to God's will, if we are not obedient to God's will, then in a sense our signal is blocked from the Lord. This is what I call the problem of the blocked signal. Again, if we think of the illustration of the family, or maybe something more relevant, a teacher, what's the best way to get something out of your parents? Is it to be disobedient or is it to be obedient? Does that make sense? If you're obedient, then your parents are more inclined to give you that Sony PlayStation 3 with the Blu-ray DVD player. But if you're disobedient and giving your parents a hard time all the time, then they're going to be less inclined to do so. Typically, if a family has children who are respectful and obedient, the parents are more inclined to give the children what they want, whatever they ask. I'm always reminded when we visit churches or fellowships with my wife is with me, and there's often cute little Chinese kids running around the church. And my wife, Vicky, often, you know, comes across some cute little boy or little girl, and, you know, she sees their behavior and says, oh, you know, guai guai. That's a Chinese expression that means obedient. And then the next thing, she used to stop bringing out candy and gifts and stuff like that. So that kind of is the idea or the sense, you know, if God is a heavenly parent, a heavenly father, and sees that his children are faithful and obedient to him, I think that God would be more and more inclined to grant us maybe those difficult things that we ask for in prayer. Let me give you a little tip when it comes to teachers. You know, if you want to kind of get some extra credit or get some extra consideration from a teacher or professor, the best thing to do is don't give your teacher a hard time. You know, if you give your teacher a hard time, and then let's say you're at the end of the semester, you know, I'm primarily a teacher. I teach on the weekdays. You know, like if I'm like at the end of the semester, and there's a student who's kind of borderline between a C and a B, and kind of the teacher has to look at the track record of the student. If the student has kind of like has kind of been giving you a hard time for the semester, or not keeping up the work, kind of not exactly guai guai or not exactly obedient, then as a teacher, I'm not really going to feel inclined to bump the student from a C to a B. You know, some of these things are a little bit subjective and teacher's discretion. So, you know, sometimes a student is like maybe, you know, 0.2 away from a B as opposed to a C. So the teacher has to think about these things, and if the student has been working hard, has been respectful, maybe not as bright as others, you know, you're willing to go that little extra and bump them up from a C to a B. And so I think this is another way of thinking about the importance of obedience, and how important this is in terms of effective prayer and how we best listen to God. You may remember one of the cutest and wonderful illustrations in the Bible is the story of Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 3. Here's a little boy. He was dedicated by his mother Hannah at a young age, and so he went to live and to train as a priest in the tabernacle of the Old Testament. And he was there living in the rooms and the precincts of the tabernacle with the old priest Eli. And then, I don't know exactly how old he was, maybe 8 or 9 years old, but he was sleeping one night, and all of a sudden he heard a voice. And this voice said, Samuel, Samuel. Being a young boy, he thought it was the old priest Eli, so he got up out of his bed, he ran over to the other room, and he said, here I am, you called me? And the old priest says, I didn't call you, go back to bed. And then he goes back to bed, and then he hears this voice again, Samuel, Samuel. He wakes up again, runs over to Eli, he says, here I am, you call me? And then this happens 3 times. And then the old priest realizes that this is nothing but the voice of God. So he tells Samuel, next time you hear that, you respond, you speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And so it happened again, and God spoke directly to the young boy, Samuel. The question is, you know, why did God's voice come to this young boy and not directly to the old priest Eli? The reason is because Samuel was guai guai. He was young. He was obedient. He's like the little kid. Where's Samuel? He just came in today, right? Except he's a little bit younger. I don't know how old is Samuel here. But anyway, you know, this reminds me of this illustration that, you know, here's this young little boy training to be a priest. He's guai guai. And God spoke to Samuel rather than the priest Eli, because Eli was old and disobedient. Eli was allowing his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, to serve as priests and to do bad things. So therefore, Eli's signal was blocked. Instead of the signal coming to the old priest Eli, it was transferred to the young boy Samuel. If we are disobedient to God's will, you cannot expect to hear a word from God, and your signal may oftentimes be blocked. So if real prayer is listening to God rather than talking to Him, how can we best listen to God? Let me suggest a third way. Thirdly, we listen to God when we are loving of our neighbor. We listen to God when we are loving of our neighbor. Matthew 5:23 says, "Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift." One of the problems with TV signals is interference. And if we're not loving of our neighbor, our TV signal may experience some kind of spiritual interference. At one point in his early ministry, the great Chinese author and Christian leader Watchman Nee began to sense the need to print and distribute gospel tracts. He found that God wanted him to print up and distribute gospel tracts. So he began to pray, and he began to pray for the money to accomplish this. This was a long time ago in the 1930s in China. But as he began to pray, he sensed some blockage or hindrance to his prayers. As he was praying, somehow in his spirit, he said he was not going through, like his signal was getting blocked or transferred. It was not getting through. He did not feel confidence in prayer. During this period of time, there was some kind of controversy going on in the fellowship and in the church and the Christian brothers and sisters. There was a group in the church that was openly criticizing another sister that was a part of their fellowship. And even though he didn't say anything, he didn't verbally agree with that, but he was saying, yeah, she's a bad person. But he was saying it in his heart. He was not even verbalizing it. And the Lord revealed to him that even though he was silently criticizing her, he needed to confess the sin and to ask for her forgiveness. See, he began to feel convicted that even these negative thoughts was not appropriate for a man of God. However, he was afraid, because if he did so, he would lose face in her eyes, and she would no longer respect him. But as he began to pray, the Lord insisted, "You must confess." 5 times he tried, but instead, he couldn't do it. Finally, the 6th time, he opened up to her and confessed his improper thoughts and attitude toward her. She confessed to him, he confessed to her, and with tears they embraced each other, and they became a stronger Christian brother and sister in the Lord from that point forward. Became one of the closest friendships in the church. Shortly after that, Watchman Nee received a check in the mail for $15. I guess it shows how long ago this was. And with that $15 was a note that said, "I am fond of distributing gospel tracts. Please condescend to accept." So God will not often answer our prayers unless we are loving of our neighbor. There was a real example where a man of God, he kind of knew that something was blocking his prayers, and as soon as that issue was resolved, it opened up the way, and God sent him the money. There's an interesting passage in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. It talks about even husbands and wives, if your relationship is not on a par or not good, the prayer effectiveness of husbands and wives could be damaged. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 says, "Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives, and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. So it's so important to have, of course, a good relationship between husband and wife, because 1 Peter says it actually could hinder your prayers if things are not right between the two of you. So, in summary, what is real prayer? What's the real deal on prayer? The real deal on prayer is not talking to God, but listening. And I hope through these three ideas, these three supporting statements, it will challenge you to start thinking about the true meaning of prayer. And it challenge you to start thinking, being sensitive, like a TV set, tuning into God's wavelength and see if God might lead you in different ways. And the best way, the three best ways I can think of in terms of true listening, are being deep in His Word, obedient to His will, and loving of our neighbor. I have to share this story that several years ago, I think I've never prayed more with a young Christian than I have with a brother in the fellowship years ago. A young Christian who was going through a major life change. This fellow was giving up an office job to pursue kind of a really intense career in law enforcement. And any kind of law enforcement is pretty intense. You have to deal with criminals. You have to deal with the negative element of society. There's physical danger involved. And the people you work with are not exactly white class and educated individuals. So he asked me to pray for him and the fellowship to pray for him. And I mean, it was a serious life change, and so we were more than happy to do so. And we prayed together. I think the whole process took place over the period of a year. But I remember step by step as we prayed for him, one by one, God was able, God opened the doors for him, and changed his life and paved the way in this difficult transition. Step by step, I remember praying in like the month of February. First, he had to take a civil service qualifying examination, and he was nervous about that. He's not exactly the brightest guy around, and he's very nervous, very young, not academically oriented. So we prayed with him, and we prayed through him, and he finally was able to get the result, and he passed the qualifying exam, civil service exam. And then several months later, we had to pray for him in terms of he had to pass a psychological exam. So he's all nervous and uptight about praying, getting through the psychological exam. And then a couple months later, he says, "Oh, can you pray for me for the physical exam? You know, I have to go through this physical exam." So he's all nervous and uptight about this physical exam. So we prayed him through the physical exam. And then finally, he was admitted into the so-called academy. The academy, which is a rigorous program of training. And so step by step, he had to prepare for different tasks in the academy, physical training and coursework and things like that. And I remember one particular exam he had to take. It was kind of like a midterm exam in the academy, and he called me up one night and said, "Can you pray for me tomorrow? I have to take this midterm exam, and I honestly don't know if I'm going to pass." And they said, "If you don't pass, you know, you're kicked out of the academy and it's all over." And I said, "Well, let us pray together." And I began thinking and praying. And as we're praying together, I kind of like began to think and to listen for God's signal and to try to kind of like pray in faith. And so, before we prayed, I started talking to him and started thinking about it. I was praying in the back of my mind, and I kind of went out on a limb, and I said, "You know, don't worry. You know what? I believe tomorrow morning you will pass that exam." And he said, "Oh, you really think so, Pastor Milton? You really think so?" I said, and he said, "Why do you think so?" I said, "You know, I have some kind of confidence or assurance that you will pass this exam. And I was really going out on a limb, because what if he doesn't? Then he's going to say, oh, Pastor Milton's prayer failed. You know, it doesn't work. You're a false prophet or something like that. Well, I said, dear brother, listen, you know, we have been praying for you for the last 6 to 8 months, and God has enabled you to get through every single step of the way, and I can't for the life of me understand why God would allow you to go through 6 months of prayer and torture as we're praying for him, and then at this last minute, you know, why would God allow you to fail? God has opened the door, the civil cervix exam, the psychological exam, the physical exam, and all these different tests and trials. And so I said, brother, you know, don't worry. I feel confident that you will pass the exam tomorrow, because I can't see. God has brought you so far. I cannot believe that God would let you fail at this point in time. And so we prayed, and I prayed with a little extra confidence and trust that this young fellow would pass, and call me up the next night and said, Pastor Milton, you know, thank God I passed the exam by one question. By one question, but I passed the exam. So sometimes we have to learn to listen a little bit more than talk when it comes to prayer. You know, there's a famous philosopher named Soren Kierkegaard, and he made a very interesting observation about prayer. Kierkegaard once observed this. A man prayed, and at first he thought prayer was talking, but he became more and more quiet until in the end he realized, you know, prayer is listening. Prayer is listening. Let us close in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, sometimes we're too busy talking and thinking about our own agendas that we're not lifting up our spiritual antennas to pick up your signal and tune into your wavelength. We pray, Lord, that we might listen more and talk less. We pray, Lord, that you'll help us to remember how to do that. First, to be deep in your word. Second, to be obedient to your will. And thirdly, by being loving of our neighbor. And we pray, Lord, that the channels will be fully open. We can hear your voice. We can hear your plan and vision for our lives. And then pray according to that will. And give us all the confidence we need to pray effectively and boldly as you would desire us to. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks.